from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price for your Sunday. Still a little bit of wildfire smoke in the air, so air quality concerns, yes. Sunshine, highs in the lower 80s, a southerly breeze. For tonight, a mostly clear sky, lows will drop into the upper 50s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 63 at our studios.
Your hometown station.
This is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Side front cover of the bulletin, of the hymnal rather. If you take that, as I prepare for worship, it's very appropriate tonight as we're looking at helping us understand what life is all about. So we're going to be talking tonight as Solomon lost it and refound it again in his last days. So I'd like us to together use that prayer as I prepare for worship, the second one down, and then we'll go into our first hymn written by Fanny Crosby, a woman blind since early on. And I'm sure, like a lot of people, blind all their life, what purpose is there to my life? What good am I? What is life all about for me in particular? But she found her Christ and her purpose in life in him, and also then went on to write a number of beautiful hymns that express her faith and ours. So, pray together. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Give me joy, dear Jesus, as I prepare to worship you today. Make me understand what my life would be like without you, so that I long to hear about your grace and compassion. Help me participate in a way that honors you and builds up all who worship with me, and let their worship strengthen and encourage my faith. To which we say, amen. God bless your worship.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Center, proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Curtis Holub will bring us a message from God's Word, speaking on the Scripture from Ecclesiastes 1 and 2, Find the Meaning in Life. Our worship this morning will follow setting 6 on the screen. The congregation will open the service in singing from the Christian worship hymnal, hymn 699, Take the Word, But Give Me Jesus, hymn 699.
Thank you.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our gracious Father in heaven, it has been merciful to us. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world and for the well-being of the Church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O Lord, grant us wisdom to recognize the treasures you have stored up for us in heaven, that we may never despair, but always rejoice and be thankful for the riches of your grace through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our first reading serves as our sermon text later with these select verses from the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. And we read, the words of Ecclesiastes, David's son, king in Jerusalem. Nothing but vapor, Ecclesiastes says. Totally vapor. Everything is just vapor that vanishes. I, Ecclesiastes, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my heart to seek out and explore with wisdom everything done under the sky. What a burdensome task God has given the children of Adam to keep them busy. I have seen all the actions done under the sun. And look, it's all nothing but vapor. It's all chasing the wind. I also hated all the results of my hard work for which I worked so hard under the sun, since I must leave it all to the man who comes after me. And who knows? Will he be wise or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the results of my hard work for which I worked so hard and so wisely under the sun. This too is vapor that vanishes. So I changed my course, and my heart began to despair over all my hard work at which I worked so hard under the sun. Sure, there may be a man who has worked hard, wisely, aptly, and skillfully, but he must hand over whatever he accumulated by all his hard work to a man who has not worked hard for it. This too is vapor. It's so unfair. But what does a man gain through all his hard work, through all the turmoil in his heart as he works so hard under the sun? Pain fills all his days. His occupation is frustration. Even at night, his heart does not rest. This too is vapor. There's nothing better for a man than to eat and to drink and to find joy in his work. This too, I saw, is from God's hand. For who can eat or enjoy himself apart from him? Yes, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness to the man whom he considers good. But to the person who goes on sinning, God gives a task of gathering and collecting, but only so that he can give it all to a person whom God considers good. This too is vapor, nothing but chasing wind. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing.
We will now join the congregation in singing Psalm 34A from the hymnal, page 172, Psalm 34A, page 172.
Thank you.
Our second lesson is from the book of Colossians chapter 3. We're beginning the first verse. We are exhorted to seek those things that are above and find meaning and purpose and happiness in life in the process. We read, "Therefore, because you were raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So put to death whatever is worldly in you: sexual immorality, uncleanness, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. It is because of these things that the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. You too once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now you too are to rid yourselves of all of these: wrath, anger, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to each other, since you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is continually being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but rather Christ is all and is in all." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the gospel acclamation, which we speak together here this evening. Alleluia. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Alleluia. The gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at verse 13. And this is what God's word says. Someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me to be a judge or an arbiter over you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out and be on guard against all greed, because a man's life is not measured by how many possessions he has." He told them a parable. The land of a certain rich man produced very well. He was thinking to himself, "What will I do? Because I don't have anywhere to store my crops." He said, "This is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and goods. And I'll tell my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your soul will be demanded from you. Now who will get what you have prepared?' This is how it will be for anyone who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The gospel of the Lord. We sing our next hymn.
We'll join the congregation in singing hymn number 717, "What is the World to Me?" Hymn number 717 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Dear worshipers, wise on to salvation, Jesus would speak to your hearts tonight in a paraphrase of what he said in John 10. I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. We're going to look at this earthly life and what it's all about in the words of Solomon that he writes down in his book of Ecclesiastes. We've heard from the first and second chapters of that writing, and we'll meditate on that then this evening. These past days have been kind of nice, haven't they? Having temperatures in the 70s instead of the 90s. And how'd you like those 100-degree heat indexes? That was pretty neat, huh? Sometimes, and in some ways, we would prefer weather cold enough to see our breath to what we've had a few days ago. In our text, Solomon introduces himself as David's son and king in Jerusalem. Then, according to our English Heritage Version translation, Solomon states immediately and emphatically, nothing but vapor, totally vapor. Everything is just vapor that vanishes. Solomon is saying that earthly life is like seeing your breath on a cold winter day. It doesn't last very long, does it? Furthermore, there's hardly anything to it. It's there for a brief second and gone the next. Our conservative English Heritage translation that we've read here chooses to be very literal in the translation of that Hebrew's word that comes across, vapor. 400 years ago, the King James Version was a little more liberal in interpreting the translation, and that section goes this way. Vanity of vanities. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. In the NIV that we've used these past decades, translates the Hebrew, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. No matter how you say it, the point Solomon is trying to make, the point that we need to take for each of us this evening, is that life is no more than a vapor. Life is all in vain. Life is utterly meaningless unless we do it from the correct, view it from the correct spiritual perspective. Solomon grew up in the home of David and Bathsheba, knowing all about sin and grace. His parents' relationship never should have happened. There had been adultery and murder. There had been denial and vain cover-up. But instead of coming down in his wrath against David and Bathsheba, the Lord sent his prophet and David's dear son Nathan to call the sinner to repentance. It's a beautiful account of God's undeserved love toward one of his fallen saints. Nevertheless, God, in his wisdom, took Solomon's older brother in his infancy to heaven, to show David and David's countrymen and all the world that sin cannot be simply winked at, and that there is no cheap grace. Saving grace would come 1,000 years later at the expense of God's own son and another descendant of David who would die on a hill outside the gates of Jerusalem for the sin of the whole world. Having grown up in the environment of sinner-saint, Solomon showed a beautiful faith in his early adult life. Still in his 20s, Solomon spoke that beautiful Christian prayer at the dedication of the ornate temple that he was privileged to build over 7 years. You can check out that prayer in 1 Kings chapter 8. As a matter of fact, after this evening, you might want to see what Kings has to say about that life of Solomon going on through just several chapters there. You could gain insight into this whole personality here Solomon inherited from his father David a great kingdom of power and potential wealth, and he quickly further developed it into more power and wealth to the fullest. Towards that end, he employed divine gift of unsurpassed wisdom. God had promised Solomon that he could have anything he wanted as he stepped into the leadership of the nation of Israel. And very wisely, Solomon chose wisdom to lead his people. And then God assured Solomon that you've asked wisely, and on top of that, I'm going to give you everything else too. Virtuous wisdom dominated Solomon's rule of that first decade of his reign. He was at the top of the world. Yet along the way thereafter, somehow he lost his soul. Factors to which we can attribute his fall and which serve as a warning to us, we're going to look at a little later here. But first, what about being on top? Tennis star Boris Becker was at the very top of the tennis world, yet he was on the brink of suicide. He said, "I had won Wimbledon twice before, once as the youngest player ever. I was rich. I had all the material possessions I needed." It's the old song of movie stars and pop stars who commit suicide. They have everything, and yet they're so unhappy. "I had no peace. I was like a puppet on a string. Vanity of vanities, meaningless, meaningless. Life but a vapor." And Becker's not the only one to feel that sense of emptiness. The echoes of a hollow life pervade our culture. One doesn't have to read many contemporary biographies to find the same frustration and disappointment. Englishman Jack Higgins, author of such successful novels as The Eagle Has Landed, was asked what he would like to have known as a boy. His answer, that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. Friends, that is where Solomon found himself when he lost his spirituality. To recover meaning in life, he sought out to expand his wisdom in knowledge from the far corners of the earth. His search led to 3,000 pithy statements that we know them best as Proverbs. Many of them ultimately found their way into Solomon's book by that name. However, secular wisdom could not fill his emptiness, much less answer the question, what is this life under the sun really all about? Today, how many college students pursue psychology and philosophy degrees, but never find the answer to life therein either? How many of our high school students are told, you know, you have to get a college education if you want to be the most successful in life, but they never find the true meaning of life in the college campus. So Solomon next turned to pleasure. He sought meaning in wine, luxury, wealth, all that money could buy under the sun. He created elaborate gardens fed by an extensive irrigation system. He further built his flocks and herds, which already, 7 years into his rule, at the time of the temple dedication, he sacrificed 22,000 cattle and 120 sheep. The tribute paid to Solomon by foreign powers rose to 25 tons of gold annually. He accumulated 700 wives and 300 concubines. Misunderstood that last one by a grade schooler that he had 300 porcupines. You might well wonder, how could anyone happen to gather 1,000 women? Well, with his dad having been such a conquering warrior, every city-state, and they were kings, but you might rather think of them as the mayor of Baraboo, the mayor of Reedsburg, the mayor of Wisconsin Dells, and so forth all around. And then, you know, way out. They all wanted to be on Solomon's side if there was going to be any major war going on. And so they made treaties and alliances with Solomon. And as part of that, they threw in a daughter. What's the logic of that? Well, Solomon, if someone came up against you, I would certainly join you in that struggle, that fighting against them, because after all, my daughter's in your palace. But how many daughters did some of these other kings have? We have to wonder. Still no inner peace for Solomon. Could it be any more overboard than if 1,000 women can't satisfy a man? Such mind-boggling wealth is difficult for us to relate to. In our gospel lesson for this evening, Jesus puts it in a more comprehensible term. You know, with a farmer with his great crops, rural Wisconsin, we can understand that, right? You know, a guy tears down his barns and builds bigger barns. Young couples set their hearts on that forever house, often putting off a home with children while they save up for that gigantic four-bedroom place. Maybe even before that, they live together without being married so they can save up for that tens of thousand wedding. A Packer offensive lineman in recent days got a contract, $88 million for 4 seasons. Now, a lot of that's going to come from the back of season ticket holders who think of that as disposable income. That's paying the freight. Some may well be able to afford it. For others, it's not very wise stewardship of the wealth to which God has entrusted to them. And well, you know, I'm a Packer backer. Most of you remember the 2010 Super Bowl championship. Somewhat fewer of you would remember the 1996 championship. And a few oldsters like me will remember the glory days of the 1960s. NFL championship after NFL championship, culminating in the first two Super Bowl championships. How clearly I remember the final gun of the 1967 season Super Bowl. Coming more as a relief than a signal to start celebrating, I caught myself overtaken by the anxiety. How do we get back to this game and win it again next year? Vanity of vanities. What's your vanity? What are you misusing to find meaning in life? Near the end of life, Solomon had a premonition of the future for the vast kingdom that he had built and that of his father before him. He had every reason, perhaps, to be suspicious that his son Rehoboam would blow it all in, which happened. In words from our text tonight, Solomon kind of says that between the lines. I also hated all the results of my hard work for which I worked so hard under the sun, since I must leave it all to the man who comes after me. And who knows, will he be wise or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the results of my hard work, for which I have worked so hard and so wisely under the sun. This too is vapor that vanishes. In 1 Kings 11, we read how, as time passes, the foreign wives and concubines of Solomon turn his heart from the Lord. Solomon became quite an ecumenicalist, if that's such a word. He built altars, even idol-worshipping temples for many of his women. And some of those gods described in 1 Kings 11 were especially detestable, calling for even child sacrifice. And finally, the Lord comes to Solomon and says, because of your attitude and because you did not keep my covenant and my statutes which I commanded you, I will surely rip the kingdom out of your hands and give it to your servant. However, I will not do it during your lifetime because of your father David. I will rip it from your son's hand, but I will not rip it away, but I will not rip away the whole kingdom. One tribe I will give to your son for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. What great and hard lesson did Solomon learn in his final days? This, as he describes it in the conclusion of our text: there's nothing better for a man than to eat and to drink and to find joy in his work. This too, I saw, is from God's hand. For who can eat or enjoy himself apart from him? Yes, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness to the man whom he considers good. But to the person who goes on sinning, God gives a task of gathering and collecting, but only so that he can give it all to a person whom God considers good. This too is vapor, nothing but chasing the wind. And Solomon's words in his text, "I hated life," bring to mind a statement of Christ: the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Yes, Solomon has here described himself as having become a weary, embittered worldling, but Christ speaks to the person of faith who overcomes this dying, sinful world by rather clinging to that which is eternal. Yet the two aren't so very far apart. Not as far apart as they might appear. The person whose heart is filled with despair and hatred of this earthly life is often ripe for the good news of Christ and his victorious love. Are you down on life right now? Does it seem like life is passing you by? Has it not been the kind of life that you would have hoped despite your best efforts? Not the life others around you seem to be enjoying? Well, let's follow Solomon's advice. Let's eat and drink and find satisfaction in the life that the Lord has given us, and look to the far greater life to come. Here's where Christian faith then enters the picture. Only faith in Christ can pierce through this fallen world's dark cloud of vanity to see the bright love and mercy of the Almighty God and the eternity that awaits us. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of a life of faith in God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, now and into that eternity. Amen. We join in confessing our faith in which we stand with our Lord in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for the prayer of the church. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for all your mercies, especially for the gift of your Son, through whom you have revealed your gracious will. We praise you for the Holy Spirit and his working through the means of grace. Strengthen and defend your church, that by your word and sacraments faith may grow and love toward all may increase. Keep our children in the grace of their baptisms. Enable their parents to train them in lives of faith.
Raise up Christians who serve you in the ministry of the word and in all godly walks of life.
Preserve our nation in justice and honor. Guide and bless all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Let your blessing rest on planting and harvest, commerce and industry, medicine and science, the arts and culture. Protect all who travel and care for those whose work is difficult or dangerous.
Be with all who devote themselves to any useful task.
Comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Remember those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those for whom death draws near.
Grant them your love and take them into your tender care.
And here we would pray for the family of Bob Horstman, not that long ago a member of ours moved to New Ulm, who passed this in these last days. We pray, O Lord God, Lord of life and death, we thank you for all the mercies with which you blessed our fellow believer, now fallen asleep. We thank you especially for having brought him to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would comfort his wife and children and all who mourn his death with your precious promises and cheer them with the sure hope of a blessed reunion in heaven. Grant the lifeless body rest and at last together with us all a joyful resurrection to life everlasting. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain hearts of wisdom and finally be saved through Jesus Christ, our risen and ever-living Lord. And hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. We remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served you who now rest from their labors. Console those who are mourning or living with sadness.
Keep us the true faith and bring us the last joys of heaven.
Grant us these things, Father, for the sake of Jesus, who died and rose again.
Amen.
The offering being gathered outside the chapel doors, we continue with our order leading into the sacrament. Please rise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, all everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock until he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. We give thanks to you, O God, through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and the messenger of your grace. Through him you made all things. In him you are well pleased. He is the incarnate Word, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. To fulfill your promises, he stretched out his hands on the cross and released from eternal death all who believe in you. As we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, we thank you that you have gathered us together to receive your Son's body and blood. Send us your Spirit, unite us as one, and strengthen our faith so that we may praise you in your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we glorify and honor you, O God, our Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church comes to you every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Bearborough or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can also stream online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of service will be shown at noon today on Bearborough Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch the services on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook and YouTube pages 9 a.m. every Sunday. This broadcast made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913 are appreciated. For more information about our congregation, go to stjohnsbaraboo.org. The television producer is Wendy Grant. This is David Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
Thank you.
been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.